Book of Psalm 118. We are returning there. Ask that you return with me. Psalm 118. I'm going to begin reading this morning at verse number 8. Picking up from where we left off on last week, one of the Lord reads on this wise: "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore in me, at me, that I might fall, but the Lord helped me." Amen. You may be seated. "Thou hast thrust sore at me, that I might fall, but the Lord helped me." We began on last week talking about freedom song, this journey to freedom. So today, this is the journey to freedom two. On last week, we entered in this Psalm 118, talked about this psalm being a freeing song. One writer said it just did something for them. Anything that they needed, they could get from this psalm. That there was nothing and no one great enough to cause them to be as free as just reading this psalm. If now and then, if you need to get free from some stuff, get free from some folk, you just ought to read the Word of God. It is the last of the Hallel Psalms. We talked about those Psalms that are from 113 to 118, which is a Jewish prayer. They would recite them in their entirety at the times of those feast days for praise and thanksgiving. It's a messianic psalm. All that says is that it talks like Jesus. It sounds like him. There are things that show up in there that really would be nothing more than the life and the ministry of Jesus himself. It is an envelope psalm. That is, it starts and it ends the same way. And it is a liturgical kind of song. It's arranged to be sung in answering parts, like a choir answering the choir, that I would throw out a line and then you would throw something back. That's what this psalm is like. Not only that, it's a prophetic psalm. It looks beyond the Lord's first coming to his coming again, to the time when he will deliver Israel and its foes from its foes at Armageddon and lead the world into the new millennium. Yeah, it's that prophetic psalm that gives us from earth to glory. And then it's a psalm that speaks of a journey. A journey home. It's not just our journey home or Israel's journey home, but this psalm speaks to the Lord's journey home. It takes us from Calvary, to way beyond the skies. It takes us from here up in glory somewhere. And so today I want to lift us. Before I lifted there were some characteristics about the journey that we shared on last week, because the way home for Jesus was a long way plagued with difficulty and danger. It wasn't no easy road. Mm-hmm. You know, we get tripped out because we have to struggle every now and then. The Jesus' path home was not an easy one. And there were some four major stop-off places along the way. Yeah, that we talked last week about the first place that he had to stop off on his way home. And that was Gethsemane. It was y'all know Gethsemane, don't you? There was a garden there in Gethsemane where Jesus found himself praying. And so here he does find himself in prayer, but that prayer does get answered. Even the psalmist has a prayer that the Lord answers. There was peace that was assured there in the psalm. Peace, y'all, like a river. And there was a person that went alongside. Now, it's wonderful to know that when you're going along your journey, that you got somebody to go along with you that can help you along the way. When you get a little tired, they can prop you up on a leaning side. It's good to know that when you go and you might be crying a tear and somebody can reach up and dry your tear-stained eyes. I thank God that I got somebody to go alongside me on this journey. If it had not been for the Holy Ghost, many a day and night I would not have made it. Thank God that the Holy Ghost will give us comfort. It will give us peace in our trying times. Yeah, he says in 118 verse 7, the Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. He said that the Lord and anybody that's trying to help me, that's they on my side. And Jesus takes that side. Can you tell somebody he took my side? He's on my side. The Lord Jesus is on my side. And so today we go from Gethsemane to Gabbatha. There it is, Gabbatha. It's the ridge of the house. It's the Temple Mount place, the part which the fortress is built upon. The Temple Mount was covered with pavement, if you will. There is the judgment seat, y'all, the Bema seat. Well, it was placed there on this pavement outside of the judgment hall. The paved area is in places roughened for a roadway. And in other places, it's marked with cut designs for Roman games and of chance. And it's such a lofty place, Gabbatha. But our text says, the text says it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Do you find it difficult to trust people every now and then? Yeah. He says it's difficult to trust people, trust man. You can't even trust people in high authority because they'll turn on you themselves. Just watch the news just a little bit. Yeah, take Simon Peter, for instance. Suppose the Lord had put confidence in him. Y'all remember Simon, don't you? Simon said he going to do one thing, and then he ended up doing another thing. He couldn't put confidence in Peter because he knew Peter better than Peter knew himself. Yeah, Peter said, I don't care if everybody else forsake you. I'm going with you all the way. I'm your ride or die, Jesus. But Jesus knew that he knew better than that. He knew he couldn't trust him. Look here, Peter, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me. But what about Herod and Pilate? Suppose the Lord had put confidence in them. You know, nobody could trust Herod Antipas, the treacherous son of Herod the Great, who had killed all the little boy children in Bethlehem. Herod Antipas had stolen his own brother's wife, then turned around and murdered John the Baptist to satisfy her. The Lord was certainly not giving or going to put confidence in him. Nor could he put confidence in Pilate. I'm talking about the pavement, y'all. Pilate undoubtedly really wished him well, and no doubt he could have released him, but he didn't because he got punked. Pilate got punked, y'all. If you look at the text in John chapter 19, somewhere in verse number 10, he begins to say some stuff to they began to talk to Pilate, and Pilate said something. Pilate said to them, are you to Jesus? He's talking to Jesus. Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Jesus, y'all know what he said. You could have no power at all against me unless it be given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Yeah. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out saying, if you let this man go, he got punked, I told you, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. Then they took Jesus and led him away. He got punked because he was more concerned about being Caesar's friend than doing what was right. Now and then we find ourselves in the same boat because there are people, our friends, those people we call our friends, who will try to persuade us to do things that we know aren't right. And instead of us standing up for right, we go along to get along. Lord was not going to trust Pilate. And today I want to stop off at two places. I want to stop off now at Golgotha. Y'all know Golgotha is the site of the crucifixion of Jesus. We call it Calvary. Yeah, Golgotha. There in Matthew 27, it says, and when they had come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. At Golgotha, the place of the crucifixion, is where we find ourselves when we get to the text there in verse number 10. Because here it is that we see the foes, the enemies that have come out in mass against Jesus. That there are enemies that are human. You know you got human enemies, don't you? But the text says to us, I believe, that the Lord was unimpressed by their nationalities, by their numbers, or by their nature. Look at the text. He says, all nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. I'm going to cut them off. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. He keeps saying, they compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Yeah, I need you to stand there at Golgotha. Stand there on that hill of shame. But hold up, can you just go back about 1,000 years before the cross had ever been raised? The armies of Israel are terrified by a giant from Gath. They scared of him because he's armed all the way up to his teeth. Fierce like a jungle lion. And here coming into the camp is one named David with a slingshot, his shepherd's staff. Down through the valley he goes to fight this enemy. The Philistine sees him coming and curses him by the pagan gods. David calmly looks him up and down. You know how we do, folks. You thank you, somebody. He says, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, David's destroyed him. He cut him off, y'all. And in the name of the Lord, I wish I would take the name of the Lord with you. But hold up, come on back. We at Calvary again. We're Calvary now, where David's greater son hangs compassed by his foes. The armed might of the Roman world is all out there against him. But the weapons of our warfare are spiritual and mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He fights back in the name of the Lord. His foes are compared to bees and to a fire of thorns. The bees, y'all, suggest the furious nature of the foes. That's how the enemies were. Angry swarm of bees can almost be impossible to fight. You know, they come from all directions and they inject their venom like thousands of red hot needles. That's how the Lord's foes appeared to him. But a bee can sting only one time. And once it has made its attack, it dies. Its power is forever gone. Thus our Lord intended to destroy Satan. You know, some people ain't got but one shot. But then the text says that the fire of thorns, it suggests the fierce nature of his foes. But in a fire of thorns, although it will blaze up and burn fiercely, it soon dies out. Because there's nothing lasting. There's no substance to make it keep on burning. It won't give it any more heat. So you got a swift blaze and it's all over. Again, that's how the Lord's foes appeared to him. Calvary was fierce and furious. But it was soon to be over. And then Jesus' foes would be powerless forever to harm him again. He would overcome them in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord was stronger than their swords and stronger than their spears. But we have human foes, but the text gives us another foe. There is a hidden foe in the text here in verse 13. Y'all, I'm through. Thou hast thrust sore at me. Do y'all see it? That I might fall, but the Lord helped me. Well, who is the thou that's talking about in this text? He is not only unarmed, he's invisible. And that unseen, hidden, invisible foe must surely be Satan. We know that Satan and his hosts were at the cross because the Lord Jesus triumphed over them there. Paul says that Christ triumphed over principalities and powers, making a show of them openly in his cross. So Satan is there having his final moment of seemingly triumph. Text says, thou hast thrust me sore. But the Hebrew of the passage is more graphic, y'all. It says, thrusting, thou hast thrust me through. That final parting thrust was as vicious as the host of hell could make it. It'd been one thing if the text had ended right there. But the text goes on to say, but the Lord helped me. Glory to the Lamb of God. On your journey home, you might go through some terrible things, a terrible place like Golgotha. Golgotha was not a good place for anybody to be. We've gone through judgment at Golgotha. We're now at Golgotha. We're on the hill and there's nothing left but crucifixion. But the Lord helped me. Our head has been hung down. We've been crying in the midnight hour. We got aches and pains all on the inside. We don't have enough money. And we are at the end of the month. We ain't got enough money at the beginning of the month. And the Lord helped me. Glory to the Lamb of God. That I don't care what you go through, where you find your place. If that place is not pleasing, look to the Lord, for he is your help. Anybody understand help today? If you know that you need help, you can't rest on your own self. You can't depend on your, well, you might can depend on your finances. I can't depend on my own finances. I can't depend on my own thoughts because I forget stuff every now and then. I can't depend on my feelings because the enemy shows up on the inside of me and I start feeling a way that I shouldn't feel. I can't depend on where I might go on one day or the next, but I sure can depend on the Lord. And when I can't depend on me, I can depend on one name, Jesus. For he is my help. He helped me before I ever needed help. He let him put nails in his hands because he said Jackson's hands need some help. He let him put nails in his feet because Jackson gonna walk someplace he ain't got no business. He let him put a crown of thorns on his head because Jackson's mind get crazy sometimes. He helped me before I needed help. And if you need help today, help has already been provided for you. In one name, Jesus, who is the Christ, who died, was buried, but the Father raised him up again. The reason I know you got help in him, when he says, when he got up, I got all power in heaven and earth in my hand. But he wants to put it in your hand to everyone who will believe. Will you believe today? Will you trust him? You can trust him when you can't trust nobody else. He'll be there for you. He'll make a way just for you. I got one more place to stop. Stop. We'll get there next week. Come on back. Because we've already been to Gethsemane. We've been to Golgotha. Been to this place called Golgotha. And we'll see you all next week. As we stand all over the building, the doors of the church are open. Glory to God. We want to invite you to this man named Jesus, who went to Golgotha in your place, who went to a place of torture, so you ain't have to go through what he had to go through. So here we are today, looking for somebody that needs the Lord for yourself. The help that you need, you can find it in Jesus. From your hurt, from your confusion, your despondency, it's in Jesus. Come to him while you still have time. If that's you today and you don't know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, we invite you to come at this time. Come to Jesus while you still have time. Would you come? We're waiting on you. Send a man, woman, boy, or girl. Even while we're waiting on you, if you're here today and find yourself in a backslidden state, we say it every week, backslider, God is married to you. And he's waiting for you to come on back home. Would you come? We will pray with you that you might be restored back to your faith in God. Please come. If you're today in search of a church home, you want to make this place your home. We're waiting on you. Somebody want to be saved? Somebody want to come that you might be restored back to your faith in God? Somebody want to become a part of this family. All to him. You are. that, Stanley. We're going to move into our period of communion. We want to affirm what it is that we believe. While you're retrieving your placards, for those persons that might have entered a little late, we will be having our church business meeting, a meeting of very much importance, that you might be with us on Thursday at 7 p.m. We need at least 20 people for us to conduct the business that we have to conduct. So we hope to see you on Thursday.